Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
All right, the spreads are out on the 17 Texan games this year. We won't go through all of them here. I just think there are a few interesting ones. For what it's worth, for those looking to get down early here, I had seen the spread open at -2.5 for the opener against the Rams. Rams favored by 2.5. The outlet I'm looking at now for these 17 spreads, Seth, for all the Texan games, has the Rams at -3.5. I kind of like the Texans. If that thing's over a field goal, I like the Texans +3.5 in that game. If you're giving me more than a field goal in that game, I'll take it. That's about feels about rough. Three feels about right in that game. That feels like a game that could come down to who's got the ball last.
In the fourth quarter. The Rams offense typically at times at least they struggle early in the season, and part of the philosophy or theory the theories by some people about that is that they don't play any of their starters in the preseason.
Yeah.
They barely, it's like they try to rest their starters as much as possible. So D'Amico's defense does not need to as much, whether they play guys or not, it's just a lot easier to play defense without as much practice. So I like the defense versus old Matt Stafford in that game, if his wife lets him play. But what I get nervous about is the Texans offensive line versus a very good defensive line.
Yep.
Everything I just said about how, hey, if you got a good pass rush, especially, you can just get out on the field and get after it. The Rams can do that. So my biggest concern really is, what does the offensive line look like week one? Are they ready for a team like the Rams defense?
Yeah. I don't know what the total is on that game, but if I'm listening to you kind of handicap and break that thing down, might be an under game. That might be a game where the two defenses eat. You know, that might be a 20-17 kind of game, you know, if both defensive fronts are getting after it and putting the opposing offense in bad down and distance situations and things like that. I could definitely see that. My big takeaway from the spreads on these games, the Texans are favored in 9 of their 17 games. So if we're just going by the spreads, and it never goes this way, but the Texans, that lines up with what Vegas thinks about them overall. Their win total is 9.5 in most places. They're favored in 9 of their 17 games. The thing that is most eye-opening to me, Seth, is that a lot of these teams, whereas last year the Texans, I think, went into the season viewed as an ascending team that you could talk about in the same breath with the teams, you know, like the contenders in the AFC. And obviously, we didn't know how things were going to go with the offensive line, but I think they were viewed that way in this community, in the gambling community. They're viewed right now on the same level as teams like the Buccaneers and the Seahawks. These are games, the games where the spreads are under 2. Texans -1.5 at home against the Buccaneers, which means on a neutral field, the Buccaneers would be favored against the Houston Texans.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah. No, and I think that all makes sense if you just look at the for one, the defense for the Texans is very, very good, but they allowed way more points than a genuinely elite defense. And it's not just because the offense wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
It's because the Texans had way too many breakdowns in the secondary, and they allowed a boatload of passing touchdowns. They were one of the league leaders in long touchdown passes for touchdowns.
Yeah.
They just, they would play really, really well 95% of the time and let up a big play.
Yep.
So they need to hem some of those things up. Otherwise, when it comes to actually making big plays, they're a league leader in interceptions and sacks, tackles for a loss, all of those things. They were in the top three or four for all those categories. They just have to be more consistent. But the offense just wasn't good. It wasn't a good offense. So I like you can't if the defense the defense allowed about they were 16th in scoring, I think.
Yeah.
Or the team was 16th in defense and touchdowns or score points allowed. And then the offense was a middling to subpar offense for most of the year.
Yep.
So that they should be a 500 team right now.
The Niners are favored at NRG Stadium as of right now in week 8. The 49ers
disrespect
on the road. The 49ers now they're also Vegas also thinks that their win total is 10.5. Like Vegas just flat out obviously thinks the Niners are a better team than the Texans. That one I can get with just based on pedigree and history. The Broncos a week later are favored at NRG Stadium. Bo Nix, Sean Payton, and the Denver Broncos, as of right now, are a 1.5-point favorite at NRG Stadium. The team that got blown out by Buffalo in the first round of the playoffs, like 38-7, and who we were all laughing at, you know, during the Russell Wilson year, and almost laughing at them on draft night when we thought maybe they overdrafted Bo Nix. That team is favored against you in your stadium next year.
That's the other part of it that goes into, all right, the games at home where the Texans are underdogs versus other mediocre teams. The Texans, some of those performances that they've had versus good quarterbacks and like how bad the stat line looks for some of them, like Jared Goff. All right, great. Yep, they intercepted him 5 times. And they lost the game in partly because Jared Goff made some big plays in the second half.
Yeah.
Like they got... Sam LaPorta went off for on a huge long reception. Mm-hmm. It was they've got to clean up a few of those little things because even in some of those bad stat lines from those quarterbacks, the quarterbacks did some really good things in those games as well.
Yeah, they're all...
The 49ers though. By the 10.5 win total for them, part of that is that they've got the easiest schedule in the
NFL.
They
do have the easiest schedule. That's a good point.
Win total.
Yeah, that's true. They're playing a last place schedule this year.
Yeah, so it's actually like by a pretty large margin when you base it on Vegas win projected totals. They've got like a healthy lead in the easiest schedule.
They play a lot of bad teams. No, that's a really good point. They do, now that said, should they be favored at home? Should they be favored at NRG Stadium against the Houston Texans, San Francisco? You know,
I don't think so. I don't believe that they should be.
Yeah, like I'm taking the points in that game. I would take the point. I would take the points. I mean, I feel like they're gift wrapping you some of these. I'm not disrespecting the Niners or the Broncos. I just don't think they're good enough teams with good enough quarterback to be favored on the road at NRG Stadium, where the Texans made mush out of quarterbacks last year.
Now, but also the other big thing about the 49ers, specific to that matchup with the Texans, is George Kittle. And George Kittle. He of the newly league-leading contract amongst tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
The Texans were bad against tight ends last year.
Sure. Yeah, no, they're going to give up points and yards. I get that. Buffalo is favored by 3.5 at NRG Stadium on the Thursday night game. So the Texans are home dogs in a handful of games this year.
Yeah.
At least three.
They've got that's where... it'd be interesting to see if the Texans come off on a heater in the first couple games and the offense looks really good.
Yeah.
Then these things might change pretty dramatically. Because I think by far the biggest factor is that you have an offense that was not a good offense last year. You're going to face some really good defenses. You can't look at a team. The offense is more consistent from year to year than defense is. So you can't even really lean into the defense. If you're an odds maker, you're not leaning into the Texans' defense as much as you're looking at the offense and thinking, like, man, that was a more abundant conglomeration of underperforming dudes last year.
Yeah, it's you know what? The early part of the season, right up to the Ravens game, the first four games of the season, I think is... the first four games and the last four games. I think the Texans have a real opportunity to get off to a good start. At the Rams will be a tough game. But these games are all like feel, you know, like these. But it's a 3.5-point spread. The Texans will be, you know, they'll be fine. They'll compete. That's the toughest of those games, though. You come home Monday night, Buccaneers, place is going to be rocking. You go play the Jags on the road. You haven't lost on the road in the division and to the Jags on the road in forever. And then the Titans... the Titans are here. You can't lose to them 2 years in a row at home. I feel like that's 3-1 right there. And I feel like down the stretch, it's a 3-1 schedule as well with the Cardinals, Raiders, and Colts all at home with the road trip to the Chargers in between. It's the in-between part that, boy, there are some gauntlets in there in between.
What does artificial intelligence have to say about
AI?
This?
AI, yeah, let's
did
get
you
to
go
that.
To did you go to AI
no.
yourself and ask? Okay.
The article used AI to come up with the scores of the Texans games, and the AI projections for the Houston Texans, 12-5. They agree with you. You're basically AI, Seth, is what you are.
Oh, that was my prediction yesterday.
12-5 was your prediction.
Yeah. I'm optimistic about Nick Caley in the offense right now.
The five losses are, and they've got scores for all these too. So how are we feeling if these are the scores of these games? They lose the five losses for the Texans, according to AI. They lose the opener to the Rams 27-24.
Okay, I feel all right about that.
They cover, yeah.
Sean wins money if he places that bet today.
I go +3.5, right. They then win, so they start 3-1, and then they lose to the Ravens 31. What?
I'm just anticipating it.
31-21.
Oh.
31-21.
Did the Ravens at least score late?
That's my question. Yeah, like how do we get to the 31?
If the Texans scored late, then I feel atrocious about all
well,
that.
Well, I feel like if the Ravens scored 31, it means Derrick Henry ran for 186 yards and Lamar Jackson threw for 250 and ran for another 70. You know,
are our defensive ends flailing around in space trying to tackle the running back when the quarterback has the ball and vice versa? Because
right.
That was fun.
Yeah.
That's a whole lot of, you know, there's an added level of stress if you ever played defensive end in college versus a good option team. That when you're watching your team struggle versus option,
yep.
It's only defensive ends have this little knot in their stomach that they get when they screw that up.
That's right.
The Texans did it like 27 times in that game.
So they come out of the bye week after that loss to the Ravens that had you go, ugh. And I agree with you. They go on a 5-game winning streak. They beat the Seahawks by 3. They beat the Niners by 3. They beat the Broncos by 6. They beat the Jags 31-27. They beat the Titans.
These are all close wins.
They're all in 26-22. Well, but that's what the Texans do, right? Remember, I mean, they play a lot of close games. Then the Bills come to town for Thursday Night Football. And thus comes the third loss of the season, 33-29. Now, that would be an exciting Amazon Prime game right there.
Yeah.
33-29, a high scoring. I'm here for it. I wish the Texans were on the other end of it, but that at least sounds like an entertaining final score right there.
Stick around to make a couple of Prime purchases afterwards.
At
that point,
a couple QR codes, baby.
You lose at home to the Bills. I'll tell you one thing. Those Amazon Prime games, man, they tailor the advertising to stuff that you yourself want to see.
Exactly what they said they were going to do to us when they got the rights to it. Yeah,
I've cross-checked this, and people aren't seeing the same ads.
Nope.
And man, everything that pops up, like, I need to buy. I know what they're doing. So that's, you play the Bills in week 12.
Yeah.
So that's it hurts more because it's to a playoff caliber team likely towards the end of season, and you've got that stretch coming up where you've got the Colts the next week, but then the Chiefs, so another big test.
So they beat the Colts the next week in Indianapolis, again, 27-21. This is the score. This one hurts. They go to the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. Chiefs 35, Texans 20.
Oh!
And for something like AI, that's a big blowout. You know, like, I feel like AI tends to skew towards whatever the computers say, and the computers never predict 41-7 or anything like that. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty big margin there for a computer-generated margin, 35-20. That one would sting, especially having lost to the Bills, you know, 2 weeks before that. Like, that's where you're really feeling. They would be, at that point, Seth, they would be 9-4 on the season, which is a good record. But their losses would be, they would have losses to the Ravens, Bills, and Chiefs. So we would be coming in on Monday after that. The narrative going into that Chiefs game is they need to win this game so we can talk about them like they're on that level. And
but
we would
still, they're in that classic, nope, there's a glass ceiling and they can't bust through.
That's it.
Yep.
That's,
don't worry, everybody, at the end of this schedule, I'm going to tell you something. Whatever you don't like about this AI-generated, I'm going to give you a little AI-generated tidbit about the Texans.
Okay, good. Let's get through the rest of this because I want to hear that. So they come back, and on that stretch of the three of the final four games at home, they beat the Cardinals, they thump the Raiders 34-17, lose to the Chargers 26-23 in L.A., and then they beat the Colts at home 30-24, thus finishing 12-5 with all five losses to playoff teams from last year.
Oh, that'd be the worst feeling. That would be the worst feeling is if you're 12-5, But you lost to all these all the really good teams. Yeah, if those teams are good this year.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Yesterday, when I was watching the schedule release videos from other teams, I wanted to see how the Ravens handled the Texans. And I just, so when they do, I think they did a Minecraft theme too, or some video game themed thing.
Yeah.
And, it was a video game themed thing. And they got to Lamar Jackson when they showed the Texans, and it just said 100%. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's reference to Lamar Jackson never having lost to the Texans.
Oh, yeah.
But because, as we've established, I've been really stupid the last couple days, I wanted to fact check myself. I'm like, right? Yeah, he's never lost to the Texans. So I just real quick Googled, has Lamar Jackson ever lost to the Texans? Dude. And, you know, Google gives you that little AI overview at the top now.
Yeah. I know where you're going.
You'll be pleased to know, Sean, when I asked, it gets even funnier, though, every step along the way. I asked, has Lamar Jackson ever lost to the Texans? Expecting the answer to be no. Yes, Lamar Jackson has lost to the Texans. The New York Giants beat him in the NFC. He is 0-1 in the playoffs against the Texans.
What? What the hell? All right. What does that even mean?
How can this be the thing that's about to replace everybody all? Now I know this is just the standard generic version of AI, but it's sports. It is so incredibly bad. I don't understand how it's so bad at sports.
If AI were a person, they are definitely the person that goes to a Super Bowl party just to watch the commercials.
You know what? This might be a big joke on us all. Who creates AI? The guys who are bad at sports.
Yeah, that's like, true. Like,
and yet a lot of the super nerds that are bad at playing sports are like ridiculously smart about sports stats and everything. Those are the kids that your valedictorian in high school who majors in quantum physics in college and can give you every box score from every game the Yankees played back until 1965.
Oh my God. Yeah, dude.
And yet they're so bad at sports.
So bad. This is where I thought you were going to go with it. And this is why I was giving AI, obviously, way too much credit. In my mind, not only have the Texans never beaten Lamar Jackson, they've never really come close that I can remember. Like the first time they ever played him was in 2019. It was his MVP year, his first MVP year. The Texans had just beaten the Jags in London like a drum, had a bye week, and we were all pumped up coming off of that bye week in 2019. Like, here, let's go. Let's show Lamar Jackson what's up. And he beat them 41-7. He destroyed the Texans. And I don't know that there's been a close game between the two teams since Lamar Jackson got it. That's what I thought. I thought AI was going to go, oh, Seth, not only have they never beaten Lamar Jackson, they've never come close.
No, Sean, put yourself in my size 13s. And think of this. The reason
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start. Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
You don't just live in your home. you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I even Googled it is because I've been so dumb the last couple years.
Right.
I've got a history of brain trauma.
Right.
I just, you know, I want to be sure that I'm on the straight. I got to pay attention to this stuff.
Sure.
So I'm like, all right, yeah, I know he's never lost to the Texans, but let me double check this. And then I'm reading.
Do you still have it up
from a computer that's supposed to be way smarter than me? Yes, Lamar Jackson has lost to the Texans. I'm like, oh crap,
yeah.
I screwed it up. And then I'm reading the New York Giants beat him in the NFC, and I'm like, what? What am I reading here? What's wrong with my head? Why is that even in the conversation,
dude? The worst part about that is, of course, he's lost to the Texans. The Giants beat him. Like, what are we
in the NFC? And he's 0-1 in the playoffs against the Texans. And I swear to God,
totally
I was
true.
Sitting there. I'm like, no, wait, no, because. They were in the playoffs last year, and it wasn't – no, that can't be.
Oh, man. AI, you suck. Messing with Seth's head. That's just mean. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. All right. Let's get to the story that everybody's talking about. And Seth came up with a Texans angle on this one that I liked earlier, so I want to talk about this again. But this Caleb Williams story, the excerpts from the book that Seth Wickersham has coming out – about Caleb Williams and his views on the Chicago Bears. I think there are some Texans angles with this that we can get into. If you haven't heard it yet, stay here. We're going to have the excerpts for you coming up next. All right, this Caleb Williams story is really interesting. I'm going to lay it out here for a minute or so. If you haven't seen it yet.
And you know, one thing I think we should have pointed out when we did this the first time is that the quotes – these are Caleb Williams and his dad actually talking to Seth Wickersham.
Yeah.
Like, so these aren't anonymous quotes or anything.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's nice because it kind of answers a lot of questions people had before last year's draft about Caleb Williams and how his dad was trying to maneuver him around.
Yeah. So Seth Wickersham, an author, a writer, has a book coming out called American Kings, a biography of the quarterback. And it's about quarterbacking at all levels. This is not a biography about Caleb Williams. He's just one of several quarterbacks and quarterbacks' families that Wickersham talked to for this book. But this is the most explosive of them, at least in the excerpts of the book. Some of them have made it out onto the internet. And yeah, so Caleb Williams and Carl Williams, Caleb's dad, both sat down with Seth Wickersham to have conversations about what it is we're about to lay out here. Caleb Williams and his family, before the draft last year, when they knew that the Bears had the first pick in the draft, began looking at lawyering up and circumventing the NFL draft, maybe even playing in the UFL for a year and then trying to swoop back into the NFL and pick which team he could go to. They looked into all the options. Caleb's dad, whose name is Carl, said, quote, "Chicago is where quarterbacks go to die," end quote. Tough to argue the other side of that, or to argue against him. They've never had a 4,000-yard passer in the history of the team. In an age where 4,000 yards passing ain't that big a deal anymore, you know?
I guess as far as the organization goes, I think it's not as much about the logo on the helmet as much as perhaps the McCaskey family and everything else that the organization itself, if they actually done everything to help these quarterbacks
sure.
out.
And weather, you know, like Caleb Williams, you know, playing USC, you know, weather is an issue.
It's rough weather. There's one. Northern stadiums are one thing, but northern stadiums that are on a body of water
wind.
Is a whole different category. Yeah.
Wind is bad.
Wind and precipitation and everything else that
big
comes with it.
Freezing rain, all of it. Yeah. So Carl Williams consulted with Archie Manning about how the Manning family played Eli's drafting back in 2004, where, if you recall, he was able to force his way out of San Diego and onto the Giants via a draft day trade. A few other things here, and then we'll share thoughts on it. Carl Williams thinks that the rookie salary cap is unconstitutional, thinks the NFL's collective bargaining agreement is the worst piece of dog poop that he's ever read.
Well, now, so Caleb Williams' dad, Carl, he was a very successful businessman, you know, before his son got rich. And they consulted a lot of lawyers. The part that's intriguing to me about this, because what I've read about it is like, listen, like as far as it being unconstitutional, there's just so many, there's so much precedent from various labor laws that, no, there's no way in hell that they could probably ever challenge it. And yet, a bunch of lawyers when somebody comes up to him whose son is about to make $100 million or so, when presented with the question, hey, can we fight this? Sure. I think a lot of lawyers were like, sure.
Yeah.
Here's my hourly rate. Yeah.
My hourly rate. Here's a percentage I get when we get your damages and everything. Right.
Well, they know they're not going to win.
Yeah. Oh, just to charge the hourly rate. Yeah. We'll put in a ton of time. So Ryan Poles, the GM of the Bears, to his credit, dug in and said, we're still drafting Caleb no matter what. Told the Williams family that. When Caleb Williams was discussing why he ended up not going John Elway on Chicago. If you recall, John Elway was another quarterback that was able to force his way out of a situation. He and his dad did it by just trashing the Baltimore Colts back in the day.
And the Colts actually drafted him, right?
They drafted him, but he was never going to go.
He went and played baseball. And he forced his way out to get back into the draft.
Yep. Okay. They drafted him and then traded him to Denver.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yes, okay, gotcha. They drafted him and then traded him to Denver. Caleb Williams didn't want to do that. He said, I didn't want to nuke the city, was his direct quote, talking about Chicago. So, and there's excerpts in here about just how bad Caleb Williams' time was during his rookie year, how janky it was behind the scenes with him and the help he was or wasn't getting with watching film.
Right, he was like basically, it just sounded like he wasn't getting the instruction he thought he needed, and even in being instructed how to watch film or what he should be looking for, which is the Texans' side of this is that, man, Matt Eberflus is a defensive-minded head coach who hired an offensive coordinator who, at least from Caleb Williams' perspective or the way he's telling the story, didn't really do a whole lot to help him. And this is the hazard of having a defensive-minded head coach. And with the Texans, D'Amico Ryans made the wrong decision in hiring Bobby Slowick. And you spent 2 years potentially having the worst, not a great guy, not a great coach working with your very young quarterback. Yeah. It's a cautionary tale.
Yeah.
It's very much the hazards of hiring a defensive-minded head coach.
That's the Texans' angle to it for sure. Ross Tucker, so getting back to the Caleb Williams part of this, because it's a really interesting topic. The sense I get, my son lives in Chicago and listens to sports radio up there, and he and I talked last night, and I said, what are they saying up there? And he said, well, and he texted with his buddies who are all Bears fans. Most of them right now are blaming Eberflus and Shane Waldron, the OC that you're talking about, Seth. They're saying, well, look, Caleb was right about that. You know, his trepidation was not only about the organization and maybe the weather, it was about specifically Shane Waldron got mentioned by name in this excerpt in the book that there was a concern. I do wonder, like, if Caleb comes out and has another he wasn't horrible as a rookie, but the team wasn't very good. They lost 10 in a row at one point. His numbers were okay. His numbers weren't drastically different than CJ's numbers for his rookie year. He had 20 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. But obviously, there weren't a ton of wins. They were, you know, they're picking in the top 10 again for a reason. I do wonder, if I were a Bears fan, if this book would shorten the leash that I would have in terms of my emotions about Caleb. Like, if Caleb Williams comes out and plays poorly this year, he probably burned some goodwill, I would think, with some of the quotes in this book.
I guess I don't know. The part about it, though, is I think everything that Caleb Williams and his dad said, Bears fans probably agree with.
Yeah.
You know, like, they feel the same way about their organization's inability to either find or develop a good quarterback. So that part of it, and the fact that ultimately, you know, there's a psychologically, people tend to, if you dislike somebody at first, but then come around on them and like them, you tend to like them more than if you like them right at the beginning. Mm-hmm. There's like almost a cementing of the emotion.
Oh,
that's why it works so well. That's why it works so well in HBO series. You know,
WWE.
The character starts. Yeah,
that's why
every heel who ever
became a babyface is the most popular babyface of all time. Like, he's one of us now. Yeah.
So in a way, you know, Caleb Williams expressing that he had reservations, but at the end of the day, He couldn't nuke the city like that. And maybe, you know, because so many Bears fans were probably telling him how excited they were to have him there and everything. That part of it felt very human in a good way.
Yeah.
That there was some part of Caleb Williams that felt like, man, I can't do this to these people.
Well, and he to the point in the excerpts that I read where he was genuinely excited about being the guy who was going to buck that trend. I'm going to be the guy who comes in and, you know, saves Chicago football, at least passing offense wise. Ross Tucker had an interesting take on this. You just sent me this tweet. Caleb Williams, this is Ross Tucker, joins us throughout the football season. You can find him on Twitter, @RossTuckerNFL. Caleb Williams and his father telling a writer that he didn't want to play for the Bears is way more concerning than him not wanting to play for the Bears. And that's an interesting angle. Like that I'm assuming these interviews that Caleb and Carl Williams did took place after he was drafted by the Bears, and maybe they were talking anecdotally about how they were feeling leading up to it. But
that's true. If the book is being published right now, it's not like the interviews were done just a month ago or anything.
I would say either way, like even if he's doing an interview with an author before the draft and saying all these things about the team with the number one pick, or even if he's doing it, maybe it's two interviews. Maybe they interviewed before and after. Who knows? But I would say I kind of agree with Ross where, like, man, what are you doing any interview for a book where you're saying negative things about the team with the number one overall pick in the draft?
Well, I'm guessing the interview, at least one of the interviews, was done after the draft because Caleb says that he didn't go along with it.
Right, right.
So, I don't know. I think you could go two sides to this because the Williams also are probably tired of seeing all the speculation. There's probably been false reports, even though the core truth is here about how they were operating. They probably get sick of, there's also a lot of false reports that go along with it, or they get the details wrong that maybe they just wanted to put it out there.
Yeah.
And it does, again, just from these excerpts, and they don't tell the whole story, I put myself in the shoes of a Bears fan, and I like that Caleb Williams says he didn't want to nuke the city.
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of a compliment to, you know, the city itself or the Chicago Bears sports fans. Like, hey, like Caleb Williams felt like, all right, this is how I would interpret it. All right, yeah, look, he wanted to come in and turn this thing around and actually be the first great quarterback for the Bears. I'll take it.
The ultimate skeptical Bears fan would probably be, well, he was sitting and pondering nuking the city for a time there until he chose not to, right? He's okay, these are the possible game plans we could use here.
That's why I love Khrushchev so much. Yeah,
chose not to,
but he didn't.
Chose not to. Yeah. That's why Seth's wearing a Khrushchev t-shirt today. Yeah, yeah. He's got a Khrushchev
jersey. People always want to ignore the great things he did.
That's right.
Khrushchev truther.
This is just beyond the Caleb Williams stuff. This sounds like an interesting book. They talk about Arch Manning in there and all the, apparently there's some really good stuff in there about what the high school quarterbacks are dealing with now.
As you know, I try to read every book written about the Patriots.
Yeah.
And Seth Wickersham's book was titled something like, It's Better to Be Feared, I think. It's about about Belichick. Read it a few years ago. And I just remember, I've got it in my notes somewhere. All of the factual errors that were in it based on just what I know about the game of football, then I'm like, all right, well, I can't really trust a lot of this other dirt you're putting in this book because you've said things that are just like factually wrong about the way the NFL operates already. He also took a shot at sports radio hosts in there too.
He did?
He said something like, you know, the writers really try to get it right. Sports radio hosts are just good at basically having a conversation with themselves for hours. And I'm like, yes, we are good at that.
Yeah.
But I feel like if anything, we rely on the sports writers. We have a symbiotic relationship. We're talking about Seth Wickersham right here. People might buy his book because they hear us.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I was talking about him, but by and large, I feel like we actually get it way more right than a lot of the sports writers because we're in a rough draft format. We can go back and correct ourselves.
That's right.
We can just, hey, I might be wrong today, but when I realize I was wrong, I can come back tomorrow.
Tell
and like,
you.
Hey, by the way, yeah.
I will tell
you. Sorry about that.
Oopsie, yeah.
And since that kind of fits into the theme with me being stupid the last couple days,
yeah.
I saw that tweet by Ross Tucker. So I wanted to text it to you, and I realize now that I texted it to Ross Tucker. So Ross Tucker is now aware of his own tweet.
Just followed up with a text saying, this was a really good thought that Sean and I just discussed for the last 6 minutes.
We got to – well, we have to – I feel disingenuous doing that because he was the leader of the worst take – he was the champion take a mania for like a month and a half.
Do we have to tell him
I don't know if he's
that?
Aware of it or not.
Yeah, yeah.
No, yeah, we have to tell him. We have to have him on for whatever he's promoting next. We'll have him on.
Next time we have him on, we will tell him that the segment that's sweeping the nation, that we'll do in 20 minutes, by the way, Take a Mania, yeah. Worst take of the week. Yeah, we'll have to tell him.
We told him when he gave us that take.
We didn't like it.
He told that take to our faces. We said it was one of the worst takes we've ever heard.
The funniest
part. So he shouldn't be surprised that we had it up as a really bad take for a long time.
Real quick, for those who don't know the take we're talking about, it's Ross Tucker talking about how he would give negative reviews and tell people not to go to certain restaurants just so he wouldn't have to wait for tables. Restaurants that he liked. So he wouldn't have to wait for a table. The best part about that was when he said that was his tactic and that he actually saw visible results of that. And you go, someone thinks pretty highly of themselves.
Yeah.
That was my favorite part of that segment.
I found some of my notes from that book. Yeah, one of the things was he said that Belichick was the first coach with the Patriots to print out huge game plan books for his players with all the stats and everything. Like, they've been doing that forever.
Yeah. Maybe Pete Carroll didn't. You know, Pete Carroll just rah-rahed everybody. But others
Oh, no, some coaches do rah-rah.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
Of
others,
but no,
others
it's not like Belichick was the first guy to lean into the statistical prep for the upcoming opponent.
Good call, Seth. It's better to be feared, the New England Patriots dynasty in the pursuit of greatness. That was the name
Caserio's
of the
in there. There's a little couple clips about Caserio. They speak positive about him and Josh McDaniels being these young up-and-comers.
There you go. Hey, Aggies, you won something in the SEC this past year, but I don't know that this is a category that you're going to be into. We'll have that for you. Take a Mania coming up at the top of the hour. Stay there. Hey, real quick, Seth, before we get to the gigantic pile of money that Texas A&M is lighting on fire right now as a university, on the TV in our studio here, they had an ad for Methodist, you know, Methodist Health during the break.
Oh, I thought you said meth.
No.
Oh, okay.
Now, that would be something. We would do a segment on that. No,
I give it 5 years.
You know,
5 years, we'll have ads for meth on TV.
Right. Oh. It's all going to be legal someday. No,
ADHD medications. But yes.
Methodist, they mix in like different athletes doing things in these ads, you know, like.
Yeah.
Yordan is in one of them right now. I might table the Yordan one for like another week or two while he's still recovering from the pulled muscle in his hand right now. You know?
Yeah.
Randy did.
I can't remember who would have been the sponsor of the partner of the Rockets at the time, but Brandy, after ankle surgery, once did rehab at a place where the Rockets were doing the rehab,
mm-hmm.
and she said it was really cool. It's not like that in the NFL. You know, like the NFL, everybody's doing their own rehab,
yeah.
like at the training facility or whatever, for the most part, by and large. But yeah, like it was. She said that Pat Beverly was very impressive, like how personable he was with.
Oh,
everybody.
She was rehabbing the same time Pat Beverly was coming in there.
Yeah, and then I said, what do you mean by personable? Yeah,
right, right.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No, and you know who else was there? It was Barry.
Warner?
Yeah, Barry Warner was
really?
There.
Two very different rehabs going on. Pat Beverly and Barry Warner.
Barry walking around shirtless and just like holding court. And Barry always loved my wife, but I had to send him a menacing text like, hey, Brandy said you're walking around shirtless in front of her. Yeah. I don't need that competition,
At
Barry.
At least put a shirt on, Barry, if you're going to flirt with my wife. Yeah. No, shout out to Methodist, man. That's where I'm a Methodist guy. I'm looking up there and I see Yordan, big smile on his face, swinging a bat. I'm like, all right, this is a troll job right now. He's not doing that right now. Stop showing me that ad. I saw this chart yesterday. Curious how you Aggies feel about this. You may not even care that the great University of Texas A&M is lighting money on fire. Texas A&M University. Buyout money paid to former football coach Jimbo Fisher when it fired him in November of 23 dwarfed the severance spending of any other public SEC school reported to the NCAA for fiscal year 2024. So all the public schools, there's 15 of them in the SEC. Vanderbilt is private. They all report their numbers, I guess, to the NCAA when it comes to all this stuff. Texas A&M spent $27.5 million on severance payments last year. The next closest one is Auburn at $10.8 million. The chart for this thing is pretty funny. Like, it's just this, there's huge, gigantic maroon line, and then all these little dwarfs next to it. You know, it's crazy the amount of money. $19.2 million to Jimbo Fisher 60 days after his firing. He's getting another $7.2 every year through 2031.
Yeah,
Jimbo Fisher is on the Bobby Bonilla deluxe plan right now.
Weren't the Texans at the top of the list or one of the league leaders in paying money to fired employees for a while
they
on
had
the coaching side?
They had to have been.
I mean, because they gave Cully a nice, like, they gave him a nice contract, and he got the remaining 2 years of that contract.
At least two.
Bill O'Brien was still getting paid as of relatively recently, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Lovie.
And then obviously Lovie Smith as well. And then all of the assistant coaches that walk out the door too. They had a boatload of that.
Yeah.
It's more jarring when you see it on the collegiate side because the Texans are at least making money.
Right.
The Aggies or any colleges, like those are boosters that have just donated money
to that
and
point,
just thrown it into a lake.
This was the interesting thing to me. Is that this is in an article on AL.com. This is Alabama's big newspaper. And it said, and by the way, Alabama spending $69,000 in severance. So like Alabama's got almost no severance payments. But this was interesting to me. The buyout spending for A&M came during a year where A&M Athletics contributions, the boosters of which you speak, fell from $115 million in 2023 to $88.6 million. In 2024.
Did you say 150 or
115? So it fell by $27 million. Donations to its fundraising organization, which is separate, over $25 million year over year it fell by. So there's a...
Oh, wow.
And that could be the economy. You know, that could be whatever. Yeah. It could be a lot of things. But that's... Having to cut big checks to guys to not work at a state institution at a time where the revenues are coming down and the contributions are coming down that drastically, that's a big deal, man.
That's tough. It's scary hiring a college coach, man. Lincoln Riley, Jimbo Fisher, just go down the list of guys that are slam dunk. Yep, makes all the sense in the world at the time. It's a crapshoot as to whether a guy's going to have any success or not.
Those are the guys you got to worry about. You know, like sometimes you hear like the Texans, D'Amico and Nick talking about that guy's coming in. We got to really figure out how much they love football, you know, because they're going to get big money. How much do they? College coaches, I think, live in a very like under the radar area where you got to, as an administration, figure out how much does this guy love coaching? How much does this guy love football? Especially in this day and age where there's so much more that goes into it with all the re-recruitment that goes on to keep guys from going into the portal, with all the money aspect of it that you've got to manage. These football programs have GMs now and things like that. Because I'll tell you what, there's probably a lot of Ed Orgerons out there. Remember Ed Orgeron?
Ed Orgeron is exactly who I was thinking of.
Go ahead.
Especially when you're Ed Orgeron, who's been an assistant coach and coordinator forever. Then all of a sudden you have extreme success and extreme money. It's Ed Orgeron was acting like the 23-year-old kid that you drafted in the first round.
Yes.
That you worry about, is it going to go to his head? How's he going to handle it all?
Well, and then he gets the phone call that he's getting fired. He's like, you telling me I get all this money? And they're like, cool, I'll be there in 10 minutes. Like he was and still seems to be, more than happy to just get a big, huge buyout and go home. I got my national championship. I'm good. My legacy is set. Give me my $18 million.
I'll tell you, though, too, the hardest thing to figure, and everything's shifting and changing again with NIL, but when you have a college coach, you know, especially in a Texas school, when he doesn't have the same ties to all the big-time high schools and everything else, the infrastructure of Texas and Oklahoma high school football, you don't necessarily have the same advantage that you might have at another place.
That's right.
And then dealing with an administration is completely different from school to school. There's going to be some things that either Florida State or Oklahoma might allow or be cool with that USC or A&M isn't, and vice versa. There's so many variables that you never see the light of day. You don't know exactly about it, but there are so many moving parts. There's like so many moving parts that are completely non-football related in a college coaching job.
Way more than an NFL head coaching job. I think
That's why I think going back to like all the current drama notwithstanding with Deion Sanders, it was such a smart hire by them because it was for reasonable money. And it's boom or bust, but it ends up working out. And then by the time you give him this contract, it at least you have some sense of assurance that, all right, the guy knows what he's doing.
Knows what he's doing.
Then
loves
we'll see
it.
What he does without Travis Hunter and et cetera, et
That'll
cetera.
Be the big thing. You got to win games.
But he obviously knows what he's doing. He's a competitive college football coach.
And he's a competitive person, too. That's the thing. Like, he is a competitive. Like, I do think there is part of Deion that really likes the whole process of Saturdays and the week leading up to it and likes, you know.
Well, yeah, you feel like he's obviously wired in such a way that the money is – he's going to work hard whether he's got big money or he doesn't.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, I don't think Deion's going to pull an Orgeron and go, yeah, oh, I get my $40 million and I get to leave? Okay, cool. See you later.
It's just college – being a head college coach at a big-time school is so much more about – the non-X's and O's.
Politics, man.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It's there's so much that goes into it that's why it gets frustrating sometimes when people try to act like some of these college coaches are X's and O's geniuses. Like, no, they are geniuses, but not at the actual football strategy side of things. It's at the 29 other plates that they have to spin to keep a program like that competitive.
They're a force of nature in other ways. No question about it. All right, Take-A-Mania, the worst takes of the week. Will they take down defending champion Andrew Perloff and his horrible take about Steph Curry's hamstring injury from a week ago? So we'll play the champ for you, and then we'll play. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4. Audio-wise, we've got 4 challengers this week. So we'll get to that coming up next. Bad Takes, Take-A-Mania is next.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.